Greet those that are joining us this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you're ever in the area, come by. We got a seat for you. And see, you just missed out on something, you know, by not being here live in living color. But I'm not going to repeat it, okay? And I love you so much. We welcome you in the name of Jesus. We're going to kick right in. And boy, if you missed last week, it was kind of an intro to this. But I want to tell you, man, I got to kick in and go because I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Okay, that kind of sounds like a movie or something, but here we go, all right? And so thank you for being here. This is on reversing the curse because the Lord, when he went to the cross, he took all the curses upon himself. Amen. Cursed, the one that goes on the tree. See, Jesus did that for us. He took our curses and he released a divine sentence of blessing. I want to tell you, the divine sentence of blessing is your birthright. When you accept Jesus, it's your birthright. But I want to tell you what it requires, okay? Hey, it's not by works. It's by grace through faith. You know we're big on that. But I want to tell you what it requires on your part. It requires cooperation. You know what the Lord loves? Interaction with you. And I'll tell you what, it is on, my friend. It's been paid for. That's what grace is. It's been paid for. And he's actually even given us his faith. And by faith is how we receive it. Okay, so he's made it all available for us. All he's waiting on is our cooperation. And I want to tell you, your yes is the answer to your faith. It's your yes. And I want to tell you, I'm so excited about you and I'm excited about sharing this with you. I got to share with Haley this week this truth. And I want to tell you, if she catches what I've been sharing with her this summer, she's going to bypass a lot of the bumps in the road that you and I have experienced. Because I want to tell you something, and I know people talk about the school of hard knocks. I know. I've been through some hard knocks myself. I've been through some dark tunnels. But I want to tell you, the primary way of Jesus teaching his disciples is not through the school of hard knocks. It's through his word. And because that's what he told his disciples. Look, there's pruning. But he says, the word, my words have already pruned you. So see, that's the primary of the Lord. That's his desire. He wants us to receive his word and apply his word. And that word has a cleansing effect, my friend. That word will set you free when you apply it. And it's so exciting and so real. But I shared this with her and I kicked it out as a little riddle. I will to you. You don't have to. Haley, I know you already know this. You don't have to say it. But it goes like this. Your smallest muscle is the most powerful. Your smallest muscle is the most powerful. Now, boy, she loves muscles. She's a little athlete. She was kicking out all kind of muscles. She was naming all of them. No, 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 no. And then the Western education kicked in and she looked at her notes that I'd given her. The tongue. You got it. Your tongue is the smallest muscle, but it is the most powerful. Now, I want to tell you, if she catches this, there's going to be a lot of life that she's going to walk in. A lot of power that she's going to walk in. Okay? And because your words carry power. Let's look at Psalm 34, 11 through 14. Come, you children, and listen to me. You know what? I want to tell you what the Lord's looking for. He's looking for learners. He's looking for those who want to hear, who want to receive. Okay, if you come as a know-it-all and you got it all figured out, then you probably won't receive much today. But I want to tell you, you can come hungry, you can come thirsty, you can come seeking, and I want to tell you, you won't be disappointed, and it don't matter who's preaching. You won't get disappointed because the Holy Spirit will speak life to you. And you can take that rhema word, and that rhema word from the Logos, I'm telling you, will carry you. And it's so exciting, the transforming power of the Word of God. But what he wants is for people to listen to him. It's amazing. When you read a lot of books about prayer, it's all about what to tell him. Well, I want to tell you what the Lord wants. You may have heard your mama say this. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. But I want to tell you what. He loves for you to listen to him. And he wants to whisper to your heart. You know, the biggest thing about prayer is just heart to heart with the Lord. And you know what? It needs to be filled with love life. Because this is what he wants, is to love on you. And he loves it when you love on him. I'm telling you, we covered this last week, but you can bless the Lord. Man, when you think about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator, all that He is, the majesty that He is, and we have the opportunity to listen, bless Him. Celebrate Him. Honor Him. You know how you do that? By loving on Him. Thanking Him, praising Him, worshiping Him, adoring Him, esteeming Him. I want to tell you, that blesses the Lord your God. And I want to tell you, when you bless Him, get ready! You cannot be outblessed. He will pour it on you. And I want to tell you, it's so exciting when He does that. But He's looking for people that will listen. And when's the last time you've heard the Lord really love on you? When's the last time you got quiet enough to hear His voice? Okay? I shared this with some folk, and they were sending a funny to me. But I took the opportunity to share this with them. That, you know what? Because they were telling me during the Longhorn game, we ought to cut off all the TVs and just listen to God. Well, I told them, I said, they said for the next 3 hours. You know what they had in mind. I just told them, I answered back, you know what? I did that before daylight. Now I'm in the Thanksgiving phase. But what I send back, you know, because he's being funny. They send all the little cartoon laughing and crying and all that. But I want to tell you, I sent back this because it's really true. Is that, you know what? We need to get quiet enough, long enough, still enough to hear the whispers of His voice. Amen. Because He's speaking and He loves to speak. Are you tuned in? And are you receiving Him? Because I want to tell you, this is a noise generation, man. And I want to tell you, it's hard to hear Him in all the noise. But I want to tell you, get quiet. Be still. Be still. And recognize that He is God. And listen to what He wants to say to you. Because it will enrich your life. Anybody need that? This is what He says. I will teach you. I'm telling you, this is the role of the Holy Spirit. He will teach you how to revere and worshipfully fear the Lord. Not be afraid of Him, how to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you see the word fear in the Old Testament, a great description of the word fear God in the Old Testament is in the New Testament, love the Lord. How to love the Lord. It's love life with the Lord. It's virtue with the Lord. How to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and the Holy Spirit. It's His job to teach you that. And He will love to, He's your life coach. A forever life coach given to you. And He wants to be your life coach every day to coach you into how to love the Lord. How to apply His Word. And I want to tell you a secret. He's good at it. And so, listen, tune in to your life coach. What man is he who desires life and longs for many days? See, this is what we touched on last week, that it's the Lord's blessing for you to have quantity of life with quality. Because you and I both know people that have got quantity of life and they just mad, they mean, they sad, and it's a miserable life. That's not the promise of God. Hey, it's quantity with quality. It's a blessed life. And I want to tell you, He promises. That's one of His promises. And you know what? That's one of the things that we believe for. You know what? This is where that restoration to youth comes in. Okay. You know, it can have effect. And so, you know, but this is quantity and quality. And this, if this is your desire, you agree with God's desire for you. That He may see good. All right? I know there's a lot of junk out there, and we see a lot of junk in our life. But I want to tell you what's precious is that you can go through junk in your life. But when you're consumed with the goodness of God, you recognize His goodness, and you forget the badness. You forget the heat. Because you're focused on the sweetness of God. And well, we covered that too. I can't go back. Okay, here we go. Verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Now, you would think this would be so easy. But we live in a place where common sense doesn't make sense to most people. Man, I could park there, but that's not what I'm going. But I want to tell you this, okay? That you know what? Depart from evil. Let me tell you where it starts. It starts in the heart. Yes. And there's roots in the heart. Yep. And roots have to be rooted out if they're evil roots. And I want to tell you, the Word of God is great about that. The Spirit of God is powerful about it. The anointing of God breaks the roots. The Word of God digs out the wrong roots. And I want to tell you, it's our joy to cooperate with the Master Gardener and present him good soil, healthy soil that's rock-free, root-free, weed-free, that's able to receive the divine seed of the Word of God so that the kingdom of God can multiply in your life 30, 60, 100-fold. That's God's desire. Man, that's exciting living. That's abundant living, but that's the Lord's heart. But it starts with the heart. And so it starts with the heart, then it becomes the thoughts. The direction of your heart determines the direction of your thoughts. The dominant thought in your mind is going to determine the direction of your life. And so I want to tell you, this is how, that you know what? It's promised that the Word of God will reprogram this computer right here. And this computer needs continual reprogramming. This is a lifetime journey of reprogramming your mind to be able to look in this mirror and see what God says you really look like and what God says you really are, and to identify with that. And when we identify with that, guess what? Man, as it goes in your heart, as it goes in your mind, guess what? It's going to come out your speech. Yes. And when you hear people say that they love God and then they speak in all negative and all destructive and all that, I want to tell you, there's a war going on in their heart. And the enemy is the same way. A divided house will not stand. I guess you're all awake now, ain't you? Thank you for knowing the Word of God. But that's his goal, is to present a divided house. And there's people who say, praise God, you know, I want God's best for my life, and I want the blessing of the Lord. I want to walk in the fullness of God. But at the same time, their heart is not that direction. They know how to speak the Christianese parrot, but their confession, their profession, is not the reality of where they are. And so I'm telling you, that causes confusion in your own being. Your soul don't know what to believe. Okay? Now, I want to tell you, that's where unbelief comes in. Unbelief's invited in that kind of situation. And if you got unbelief in your heart, well, you'll doubt. And you doubt, you'll do without. Okay, here we go. And so depart from evil. It's the direction of your heart. So what's in your heart's going to be the dominant in your mind. What's in your mind is what's going to come out of your mouth. Okay, I've just got to say this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes.
All right, and so what you say, we get hung by our tongue. I'm telling you, it's right there. And so heart, thoughts, speech, action. Do you see it? People say, well, I just want to change my action. No, it's got to go back. You got to back up the truck. But I want to tell you, all this is possible because of the life coach that God gave you and the Word of God that we have. And I want to tell you, you can reprogram. You can direct your heart toward God. You can reprogram this computer, and you can begin to speak the Word of God. And I want to tell you, it'll have great effect. That's why that people whose heart's not really toward the Lord, they can take the confessions that we hand out as far as the Word of God, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I'm complete in Jesus, I'm loved by the Father, loved by the Son, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, what I say in faith without doubt I receive. They can go through and say all those things and it have no effect if their heart's not that direction.
That's right.
There's got to be an allegiance in the heart. And I want to tell you, when that happens, reprogramming of the mind, the Lord paints a picture on your heart of what you are and what He wants to do in your life. And as you confess what He's saying and what He's doing, there's effective power that comes out. And it's activated. It is power activated. It's so exciting. But that's how it works. And so there's a big part of all this. You got to seek the Lord. You got to seek the Lord. Man, for people that say, well, I'm just waiting on God to do something. Well, He already has. He went to the cross. It's finished works. He's done it. You know what He's asking? He's asking us to seek Him and to agree, to cooperate. And so there's some seeking that needs to take place. Where's your heart? Where are you going? What's the direction? And so that's where we ask. Ask, seek, knock, A-S-K. We inquire for. Do you see that? And we crave peace. See, that direction brings right desires. This word will bring right living. But it affects your heart first. and then your brain, and then your speech, and then it's going to show up in your life. It's so exciting. God made it that way. It's not hard. It's simple, or I couldn't say it, but I want to tell you it's very effective. And so you don't bypass first, second, and third base and just hit the ball and jump on home plate. God's got a way. But I'm telling you, direction brings right desires. And I want to tell you, it says crave peace. You say, well, I want peace, but I'm not craving it. You know, it's not really a desire. Well, you got to park till you do. Park out with Him till you do. Jesus is still making disciples the way He always did. You know what He said? Come be with me. Come be with me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Come be with me, and I'll make you disciples. And He's doing it the same way. You cannot do it without being. You will not be without being. And so it's crave peace. And it says to pursue it, to go after it. You know what that means? It's that it's not enough just to experience it. Oh, I believe that was a chill bump of the Holy Spirit. Well, okay, I'm done for the week. No, it ain't that. It ain't just experiencing a little relief. I want to tell you, this is directive from the Lord. I want to tell you how you spell peace, same way we spell grace, J-E-S-U-S. And it's Him. He's the portrayer of peace. He doesn't give you world peace that just gives you a little relief, a little absence from conflict. No, 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 no. We're talking about power peace. Peace that mounts garrison around about your mind. That type of peace that settles and chases fear out the door, because it's connected and holding hands with the love of God. And I want to tell you, that's what God does, and that's what He wants to do with your life. So we're not just asking for relief. He says, pursue it and go after it. This is being determined to win. Yes. This is directive for your life. This is something you'll never let go of. And you got to pursue it. Why? Each day brings its own challenges. Each day brings its own conflict. Each day brings its own test, and that's why we got to walk hand in hand with peace. But that's who your life coach is. He loves to do that. Well, you say, well, Brother Tim, that's Old Testament. Okay, let's look at New Testament. Thank you for asking that. All right, 1 Peter 3:10-11. For let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days. Does that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound like what we covered in Old Testament? This is Peter here. For let him who wants to enjoy life. Anybody here want to enjoy life? Anybody here want to see good days? Well, I love this, how the Amplified brings it out. Boy, this is good. It shadows the original language. It says this. Do he wants to see good, whether it's apparent or not? Now, a lot of times, I want to tell you, drought comes. Heat comes. It don't matter how much you love the Lord. It don't matter how spiritual you are. It don't matter how mature you are. Hey, challenges come. The enemy come knocking. He come shooting fiery darts at you. The enemy come attacking. As a matter of fact, a lot of times you can kind of measure whether you're walking with the Lord or not by how much resistance you're getting. Was that a little much for you? Well, I want to tell you, this is true. And so even when it's not looking good at the present, we know and have confidence in the goodness of God. And you know what? Whether it's visible or not, we're not going by what we see in the visible at the moment, because we look past the physical and we look into the spiritual realm, because that's where our help comes from. And in the spiritual realm, Jesus is Lord and He's never gotten weak. And I want to tell you, His promises are true no matter what we see, what we feel, what we hear. How about them voices? What the emotions are saying? The greater reality is what the Word of God says, and let's see what God says. And let's park on what God says, no matter what this looks like, because what this looks like and feels like and tastes like is temporary. Spiritual reality will show forth. That's what happens. I want to tell you, keep his tongue free from evil. You know what happens when you believe, when you stand on the Word, when you confess and profess what Jesus is and what He's doing? I want to tell you, it changes atmosphere around you. We get to go in different churches. I'm just going to say this. I don't mean any harm. I'm just going to be honest. Churches have atmosphere. And some churches you can walk into and you better watch your footing, because you'll skate right on down the aisle, you know, because it's a little chilly, a little icy. it's okay for you to speak for Jesus. Because I want to tell you, when you stand for Jesus and you speak for Jesus, God will back you up. And I want to tell you, you can change the atmosphere of your home. Okay, it needs to be an atmosphere of peace. I kid you not, you can ask the beautiful blonde. We have this happen every year. People we're ministering to, because a lot of people we minister to are from the outside, right? And they'll come into our house and, you know, they'll be there for a number of sessions or whatever, but they'll come in. And usually we get this question and we always smile when they say it. They'll say, would it be all right if we just come over here sometime and just hang out? Because there's so much peace here. I don't have that at my house. And it's just so comfortable and it's so relaxing. And we want to come and we won't disturb you. You just want to come and hang out sometime. Well, I want to tell you what they're sensing is Jesus. And you can have a Jesus atmosphere at your house no matter who else is there. Okay? Because I want to tell you, you and Jesus are a majority. And you can set the standard. But it won't happen unless you take a stand for Jesus. And you begin to do this, see? You depart from evil and do good. Well, you practice what He is and what He's saying and what He's doing in your life. You crave peace, and you don't just crave peace, but you pursue it. That means be determined to go after it. And so look at this. Keep your tongue. This is 1 Peter 3:10. Keep your tongue free from evil and his lips from guile, from treachery and deceit. Now, I want to tell you something. It's very, very important to the Lord that you don't lie. People that know me, my leadership team knows this. My boys could tell you testimony after testimony growing up with me. I hate lying. Okay? I'm telling you, I hate lying. That's okay. Because God hates lying too. Because every lie is tied to the liar. Yeah. That's darkness. Yeah. That's the enemy himself. And I want to tell you something. I've told my boys growing up, my leadership team knows this, that you know what? You can come in and confess anything. I'm going to stand beside you. You come in and share anything where you fumbled or bumbled. You know what? I'm going to love on you. I'm going to stand beside you. I'm going to take up for you. Albert Sandejo, y'all know this is true. You've seen me do this.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to stand up for you and take up for you. Even if I take flack, I'm going to stand beside you. I'm going to help cover you. But I'll tell you what, you lie to me, I'm going to want to go East Texas on you.
Yeah.
There's just no room for that in the kingdom of God. No room for jealousy in the kingdom of God. No room for selfishness in the kingdom of God. That's anti-Christ. Okay? But I'm telling you, it's very, very important. You can be hung by your tongue. I'll never forget, a little lady came in, and boy, we ministering, loving on her, and boy, things she'd, you know, it's real easy in life to get turned upside down. It's no sin to miss. It is a sin to miss, but I'm telling you, we're not condemning you for missing. It's just like, you know, we say this all the time. You've heard a lot in this series. It's no sin to be sick. It's an opportunity to touch Jesus. If you miss, it's an opportunity to receive from Jesus. Okay? But by all means, don't walk in with me and start defending yourself and blaming everybody else. That tells me real quick, you know what? I can't help people that they're not willing to let Jesus help them. So I need to get them on out the door. But when people come in, and I have pastors come in and say, I blew it. I say, I'm looking at a forgiven man.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Pastors come in and say, well, it was their fault, and this fault, and this fault, and it's because of this, that this didn't end, I made a mistake. No. Well, I'm probably not going to be able to help you today. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, listen, this is heartbeat. What you say is very, very important. This little lady that came in, turned all upside down. Boy, they made a lot of progress. Some things broke and was able to instill some life into her, some principles. And she walks right out the door, and I could see her. And I'm watching her as she's going to the car. She's on the phone. Somebody called her. And she's talking about how bad and how worse and how horrible everything is. And I told her before she got the car, I said, you know what? You just reversed everything that happened in here. By the power of your words. What direction are your words? Are you speaking life or death? Cursing and blessing can come out of the same tongue. Whose team are you on? Maybe you ought to look and see what jersey you're wearing. Look at this, verse 11. Look what Peter says. Let him turn away. Turn away. Turn away. I want to tell you, the easiest thing you can do is look the other direction. Everybody can do this. Y'all at home can practice this. Look one way, and then just go ahead and look the other way. Now, unless you got a lot of neck problems, that didn't hurt. And that was very easy to do. I want to tell you, that's what Jesus said. Look up. A lot of times when he ministered to people, boy, there's a message in this. He'd say, look up. And I want to tell you, look, it means to change direction. Look at him. Beautiful picture in the Old Testament. Israelites. They'd been in rebellion. They'd been mully-grubbing before God. But I want to tell you, fiery serpents came out and was attacking them and biting them. I think they were called fiery on a purpose. I think that's what it felt like. And it was poisonous. And they were dying. And God told Moses, put a brass serpent on the pole. And you know what? It's a cross. He said, hey, Aaron, the high priest, run out there and tell the people, look up and you live. Now, I want to tell you, they had a choice. We have a choice. Life and death. We can look to Jesus and live, receive life. Or we can refuse and receive death. You know, it's blessings and cursings. He paid the price. I'm telling you, the serpent on the pole. You know why? Serpent on the cross. You know what that is? Hey, your serpent's been put on the cross by Jesus. He took your serpent, whatever attack it is, he took it on the cross for you. And it's conquered on the cross. And all you got to do is by faith, look and live. Look and receive. And you'll be free. And those that looked up were healed. Not just pain stopping, but I'm telling you, the bite completely gone away. No side effects, just blessed effects. Man, that's good. That's for us. That's what he wants to do. But look at this. Turn away from wickedness and shun it. Paul put it like this. The same thing Paul said. He said, turn to God from evil. Now look, that's the turning of your heart toward God. When you turn toward God, your back's toward evil. That's a good place. Your back's toward the idols. That's a good thing. That's the right direction. It's not perfectionist direction. Somebody say amen. Amen. So turn away from wickedness and shun it. And let him do right. Okay? Stop doing what stumbles you and start doing what's a foundation to you, Jesus. Let him search for peace. Boy, that sounds familiar. That's what we just covered. Look at the Amplified bringing it out. Harmony. Undisturbedness from fears. Hey, man, you don't have to put up with that mess. That's not from God. That's from the enemy. Agitating passions. Man, those things that continue to trouble you and turn you and make you want to go window shopping. Come on now. And moral conflicts. Are you there? And seek it eagerly. Do not merely desire peaceful relationships with God. Well, just enough to be blessed. No. Just enough so that people aren't mad at me. No. Just enough where I can sleep at night. No. Man, don't settle for the less when he's giving his best. It says to pursue and to go after him. You sow it. You speak it. Hey, till your state reflects your status. You know your state fluctuates. Some people woke up sad this morning, don't know why. Well, I'm telling you, come on to church. Because you come to church and touch the joy of the Lord. And I want to tell you, that stuff erases. Every week in different meetings we have people that come that aren't feeling good, that are troubled, that, you know, feeling sad, not feeling good, but healthy. And they come and the Spirit of the Lord touches them and they leave a different way than they came. What do you call that? J-E-S-U-S. But this is what we're talking about. Seek it eagerly. Do not merely desire peaceful relations with God, with your fellow man, with yourself, but pursue. Somebody say diligently. Yes. That's after the Lord. You can't go wrong by pursuing the Lord. All right? Sow it. Speak it. Till your state reflects your status. This is your status. This is what God says you are. And until this lines up with this, then seek the Lord. Yeah. Man, good preaching, Brother Tim. Thank you. I'm enjoying myself. I'm having fun. Okay, we're going to speed up right here. You know, we've covered this in this series that when Adam sinned against God, there was a divine sentence that came on the earth. And one of those divine sentences is sickness. Now, poverty is one of them too. Sorrow's another one of them. It's sweat, another one. Hey, I'm telling you, it's all there. That wasn't God's perfect design. It wasn't God's design. It came because of sin. So don't blame God for it. It's not because of God. It's because of sin. That's the enemy's desires, to bring curses on the earth, on humankind. And I know there's a sense that the body's not saved yet. One day it will be. When Jesus comes, we get a brand new body. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We'll be looking good like a Papa T should. I'm telling you, it's going to be exciting. But I want to tell you something, and I know that there's a process of aging. I don't see it in the garden. I don't think it was in the garden. I think this is a result of the fall. You won't see it in heaven. I think that we're going to be young and looking good in heaven. A younger version of me, best looking version of me, and never be sick again, never have any pain again. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. We got a lot to look forward to, but there is an aging process. But I just want to say this, and this is what we were touching on last week. Some people seem to push it back. They seem to offset the process a lot. And we got some in the house today that do that. Okay, we say it in our culture, we say, well, they age very gracefully. Man, let's put Jesus in the middle of that. Because that's part of the promise of the Lord. And boy, I know, you know, we love Grandma Sandy and Ruth over there, just so precious. And boy, there's a whole row of them over there. But, you know, here's the deal. You hang out with Ruth, you know what? You're gonna sense a lot of the peace of the Lord.
Yeah.
She got Bible in her background, and it comes out. And you hang out with Sandy, and boy, you're going to experience peace, and there's a lot of joy there. Now, I caught her at Costco this week. I sneaked up. You know what I did, Pastor. I sneaked up behind her and gave her a little honk. And before she even turned around and saw it, she began to apologize. I'm so sorry. And she saw it was me, right? Well, I was helping her out. I was adding all kinds of things to the cart that she didn't want. I really had this laugh a little later. I wish I'd caught her over by the wine aisle. I'd have filled up her cart with it and walked off. But I'm so sensitive. You know, I'm not doing that. But I was filling it with all kind of other stuff. She was telling me, I don't want that. I don't need that, Pastor. And you know, I helped her a little bit, but I know that she's a super shopper, see. I think I'm going to talk to Costco about giving her a reward, because after she left, before I left, I looked up and saw her with another empty cart, and she was going for another round. Now, that's a super shopper when you go to Costco twice in one day and fill up them carts, huh? Come on, somebody. Now, see, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, though. There's a different, your attitude determines your altitude.
Yeah.
Well, there's some people that seem to push back the years. It's amazing to me, because, see, we covered this in the Bible last week about Bible characters that seem to have strength. The longer they lived, the stronger they got. And man, I had so much fun with that. But you know, I've got testimonies of modern day saints that seem to push back. One that I'm thinking about in the 1900s, I'm not going to tell you their names because I don't want you to get caught there. I want you to think about Jesus on this. But they, when they do die, it's not by sickness and disease. It's like they release their spirit. Now, the first time I saw that term, it caught me, because that's what Jesus said and what Jesus did on the cross.
Yeah.
Hey, they didn't kill him. He gave his life. They didn't decide when he was going to die. He chose the moment. And he told Father, I release my spirit. Man, I saw that and I thought, he's teaching us that there's a better way to die. Now, I'm confessing to you, I don't have it all figured out. I'm a learner, but I want to learn. I saw my little mammy, my little mama, take 2 months to die. It was hard. This vibrant, beautiful woman that just 2 years before was traveling and shopping and cooking it up. 2 years later, we see her on the bed. She's in a lot of pain, and she's frail, and she's disintegrating and just wasting away. It took 2 months. My son came from North Carolina, Pastor Zach, to see his mammy before she passed. I had to warn him in the hallway, listen, man, you're not going to recognize her, man. She's not the picture that you have. man, she's kind of wasted away, and I don't want you to be shocked by it, but she can still hear you. So go love on her and speak life to her. And I want to tell you, it broke him. You understand? Well, it took 2 months. It was hard on everybody. Hard on her. Hard on all of us. And in my spirit, I'm saying there's a better way. And you know what? Found out, looking at some of the great saints of God in the past, in the Word of God, you see the same term. They release their spirit. I don't have it all figured out, but I want to tell you something. I think Paul was there. Y'all want to see it? I think he was there. Paul had that mindset. It's better for you that I stay. It's better for me that I go. It was like he had a choice in it. Look at this in Philippians. Is this blowing your mind? Philippians 1, 23 and 24. But I am hard pressed between the two. My yearning desire is to depart, to be free of this world, to set forth and to be with Christ. That is far, far better. That was his heartbeat. But listen, he loved the saints. So listen to this. But to remain in my body, like he had a choice here. To remain in my body is more needful and essential for your sake. It's better for you that I stay. In the last century, there was a brother in the Lord. He's in his 80s. Still ministering, actively ministering. His wife had died. He had moved in with his daughter and her husband and their family. But he was still actively ministering on weekends, still traveling and preaching. Just a precious man of God, precious ministry. But I want to tell you something. You know, what would happen is that he would get up early, as was his custom, and spend time with the Lord. And then the family would get up, and his daughter would get everybody off to school and off to work. And then she would come back in there, and she'd make her dad breakfast, and they'd have breakfast together. And he would share with her what the Lord had showed him that morning. And so even though she was feeding him breakfast, he was feeding her breakfast. Well, this particular morning, as they were having breakfast, he told his daughter, he said, I want to tell you what the Lord told me this morning. She said, go for it, Dad. Tell me, Dad. He said, the Lord said I could go home today. And he was so excited. The Lord said I could go home today. And she got on to him. She said, now, Daddy, now don't be talking like that. Now, you're well, you're healthy, and you're preaching, and you're ministering, and people need you, and we need you, and I don't want to hear that kind of talk. Now, don't talk like that no more. And he just smiled. And a couple hours later, she walked in, and he was in his chair, had his Bible opened up on his chest, and she describes that he even had a smile on his face, but he had already gone. Now, I want to tell you, does that blow your mind? I want to tell you another one. This was back in the 1800s. This guy was in his 80s. I'd love to tell you about his life, but I'll be honest with you. His mannerisms kind of offensive. I'm just being honest. Okay, he was rough, crude, and rough, man, in the name of Jesus. I don't know how all that fits, but I want to tell you something. He had the power of God. He walked in the power of God in his life. It's the 1800s. He was in his 80s, actively ministering, actively preaching, and as a matter of fact, he had just got finished with his last friend's funeral. And this is his son that relates this. His son probably had a better picture than anybody else. His son relates that he thinks that his dad had this thought: all my friends are gone. I'm the last one here of all my friends. It's my turn next. I'm ready to go. And he yielded his spirit and left. Now, a friend of theirs was a doctor, did an autopsy on his body, checked him out. This is what the doctor said. I find no disease. I find no sickness. He made this statement. This is what the son said. The doctor said this: I find no better specimen of a human body than this man. Now, this is what I'm telling you. He yielded his spirit. Wow. I want to tell you this. This is what the son relates. His dad took communion every day. I take communion every day. Some days every week, I take it twice. Because I take it with the Lord personally, and I'm ministering it to the saints a couple times a week. I'm not telling you to do that. Don't do that because I say so. You got a life coach, and he will coach you on how often you need to practice communion. A couple times a week may be just fine. I don't know. He'll tell you. But see, for me to try to put what the Lord's telling me on other people, that's how legalism gets started. Because I want to tell you, not only can we draw legalism that'll bind people into a law or a rule, but we can also build fences around it that keep people out. And so I'm just announcing to you that it's very, very important that you seek the Lord. Hey, look, if you're weak or sick, you know, that's what we covered about with what Paul was saying. He told the Corinthians, you know, some of you are weak. That's the first stage of sickness. Some of you are sick. Boy, that's an obvious state. Some of you go to heaven early. Some of you go to sleep early. Well, Paul says, Jesus made a way of escape for that, a way out for that. How am I doing? I got to hurry up. Y'all listen a little faster, okay? Because I want to start a certain place next week. Okay. But you know what? If you need to take it more often, listen to your life coach. He'll coach you on it. Those of you that are watching, I know some of you are in churches that have bylaws where that only an official or only a ordained minister can minister communion to you. According to the bylaws of some denominations, you're not allowed to do that to yourself. Well, I got a way for you. See, this is a little wisdom. Hey, during COVID, there was a lot of denominations that put a video communion out from their pastors to the people because they weren't meeting. And I want to tell you, if it was legal, because there's not a scripture on this, but I respect denominations, but if it was legal to do that during the year of COVID, it's legal now. Ask your pastor to do a little video of doing communion, and you can practice communion on that little video. You can have it on your device, and you can practice it all you want to, and it's legal. But I'm telling you that he made a way of escape for us. This is one of the gates that he gave us to touch him. And so why not practice it? I hope you practice prayer. That's a gate. I hope you practice praise and thanksgiving. That's a gate. I hope you practice time in the Word. That's a gate to touch him. Well, he gave us communion for that also. And so look at 1 Corinthians 11:26. And I got to stop, but here we go. For as often, would you circle the word often and just write beside it, whenever the Lord leads me. As often as he leads me, I will respond. As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Yes. This is speaking of the finished works of the cross. His finished works is our victory. His death is our victory. This is not a negative, this is a positive. You proclaim the victory of Christ won for you until he comes again. Every time. I'm thankful we're in a church that ministers the Lord's Supper on a Sunday basis. But I want to tell you, it goes like this. And this is what Jesus said. Remember. Remember me. Remember me. See, that's the key. Every time we remember him, we receive. It's by our remembering, seeing him, recognizing him, receiving him, responding to him by faith in communion, we receive. And so he said, remember me. And so you know what? We remember, we believe. We believe, we receive. We forget, we doubt. We doubt, we do without. And so be alert to this. And I'm going to kick off next week on 1 Corinthians 11:29, because there's a lot of denominations in church life. There's people that get stuck on the little word judgment. I'm just going to announce to you and give you a little heads up. Whenever the Bible says judgment, it can mean hell, but it don't always mean hell. It don't mean hell in this verse. It means a divine sentence has been passed. Now, I'm going to give you good news, because we're going to receive communion right now. And so if you will take your elements, those of you watching on camera, if you want to take elements, then and don't worry if you don't. Well, I don't have the official. I want to tell you the most powerful communion service I ever had was with my staff one time on a retreat, and all we had was Dorito chips and knee-high grapette. This is a picture, but it's important in the picture that you see Jesus. And so I'm just announcing to you this, that through Adam there was a divine sentence of judgment that came on the earth. This was from the enemy. But I want to tell you, on the cross, there was a divine judgment of blessing that came on the earth. All those who believe, receive. Paul was getting on to the Corinthians because they had forgot what it was all about. He's reminding us it's important for us to distinguish and recognize the bread from the juice, the body from the blood, because it's a 1-2 punch. I just got to do this. It's a 1-2 punch. It's a combination. They call it a combination. Hey, he gave us a combination of blessing. The bread for our healing. Take your bread right now. Lord Jesus, thank you that your body was broken for our wholeness. Thank you you were wounded for our recovery. Thank you that by your stripes we are healed. Thank you that through your pain and suffering you took all of our sins, you took our sicknesses and diseases on your own body that we might be free. So Lord Jesus, by grace through faith, we receive that your body was broken and we receive your healing. We receive your restoration in our soul, in our body. Thank you that you paid the price for our completeness, our wholeness in you. We believe in Jesus' name. Let's take the juice. The Old Testament refers to the juice of grapes as the blood of grapes. Lord Jesus, thank you that you said, we take this cup, we remember. We remember that you're the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of the whole world. Thank you that your blood washes away our sin. Thank you that by your blood you give us a position of justification. You give us your rightness. Lord Jesus, thank you that your rightness gives us a right to receive all that you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. By your blood, we receive and know our forgiveness is true and our walk with you has been paid for. Into blessing, into victory, in Jesus' name. Let's salute the Lord. Let's honor the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm believing by the time we finish this short series, I think there's a number 8, that there's going to be a whole lot of shouting when we come to this part. Yeah.